everyone. Welcome back to the Channel Your Influence podcast. I'm your host, Diane Taha. And today we have a returning guest, Michael Chase Strollo, who you may remember from my episode on The Bachelor during Peter's season. Michael is a model, actor, and personality from The Mel Robbins Show. And today, Michael and I are going to be talking about New York Fashion Week and the influence of TikTok on the fashion industry, and specifically the rise of TikTok influencers at Fashion Week, which has been a pretty controversial topic. But before we get into that, welcome, Michael. Tell us more about yourself and how you got into fashion and modeling.
Yeah, thank you, first of all, so much for having me back on the podcast. I'm excited to be back. How I got involved in the fashion industry is a crazy question. I started kind of my career in radio, which led to some more in front of the camera work. So I started doing some shoots. Converse reached out from a photo shoot that I had done. And from there, one thing led to another. So I've been able to model for designers, including Trina Turk, Lily E. Violetta, Joe Ghost, really some amazing designers. And then I've done some TV as well with that. But this was my first Fashion Week, and it was honestly everything that I could have hoped for. It was amazing. The people were amazing. It was a great, great show.
Nice. So as I mentioned earlier, I didn't attend this Fashion Week, but I've been going to Fashion Week since 2013-ish, which is when around when I started blogging. And Fashion Week has changed a lot since then. Yes. So what was Fashion Week like for you?
Yeah. So it was crazy. You know, like I said, this was my first Fashion Week. But from what I know of the past, this has been like no other Fashion Week before. One of the greatest changes, obviously living in a post-pandemic world, you know, centered around COVID, basically what New York Fashion Week did, because a lot of people don't understand that New York Fashion Week is its own entity. It's an organization. And like, you know, in the past, they've kind of run the show. They've been the yay or nay sayers of who, what, when, and where. But this year, New York Fashion Week basically turned everything over to each individual designer. So as far as invitations, media invites, press invites, anything of the sorts, it was really left up to each individual designer. So that was really fascinating because for multiple reasons, because it was depending on which designers you were, you know, wanting to attend, you know, what shows you were wanting to attend. One of the greatest things that I explain to people is that there's a difference between in-house communications people and employees who work for designers and PR agencies. And so this year, a lot of PR agencies were, for the lack of a better word, the gatekeepers behind, you know, who's going to attend what shows. And then there were other, individuals who were in-house communications people for designers who were amazing. So that was one of the greatest differences this year, was the fact that, you know, New York Fashion Week in years past, you would have to apply as media or as a guest, and the organization New York Fashion Week, they were the ones who would either accept your request or deny you. But this year it was really left up to every individual designer. Obviously another difference, mask mandates, vaccination mandates. You know, there were levels of security that, you know, we haven't seen in the past, in the sense of some shows, you know, were mandatory to show proof of vaccination. Other shows were mandatory proof or mandatory masks to be at the show. So obviously in fashion, masks are just one of those things that, you know,
you gotta buy a fashionable one.
Yes, you have to buy a fashionable one. So bedazzled, I'll tell you, bedazzled masks were definitely standing out. Alice and Olivia, she had, Stacey had masks made that were branded. That kind of had the, you know, one of their logos on it that they were handing out.
Cute. So,
yeah.
I love Alice and Olivia.
Yeah. That was awesome. They had a great, great marketing strategy for, you know, trying to hunker down and do what they can to protect against COVID. So
nice. So were people wearing masks in the shows too, even if they were vaccinated?
Yeah. So it really depended. Some were required, some were not required. It basically everybody asked for proof of vaccination, just about everybody had asked for that. But then designers, you know, they had open bar, they had, you know, they had drinks that, you know, are appetizers. And so it was one of those things where, you know, you're holding a drink, but you don't have your mask on, but you're mingling and talking to people. So it was really kind of left up to the discretion of the individual.
Yeah. And you mentioned how this fashion week was different in the sense that you were getting invites from PR agencies. So yes. Were you, for people that are listening and have always wanted to go to fashion week, would you recommend like pitching PR agencies? Because that's pretty much what I used to do in the past, was like pitch right. PR agencies to like go to shows. So what would you suggest for getting invited to fashion week?
Sure. So like I said, this was my first time, and I don't want to say I'm surprised because of, you know, what I've been able to do in the past, but going into it, not knowing what the results would be, not necessarily not knowing how to do it. You know, I am a public relations major in school. So I kind of had an idea of, okay, this is what they're looking for. But yeah, when it came to pitching the PR agencies, like I said, a lot of them were gatekeepers in the sense that they're hired by a designer because they think they know what's best for the designer. Mm-hmm. Whereas employees of designers who are in-house communications people, they know what's best for designers. So that was kind of one of the main differences where, believe it or not, I had a lot more luck with in-house communications employees than I did agencies. And a lot of that had to do with building repertoire. You know, some of these PR agencies, they didn't know who I was, you know, because I had previously worked with entertainment agencies, Linda Gaunt Communications, you know, people like that who were in, you know, radio, film, television, and not necessarily in fashion. And so it was definitely an awakening, I would say the least, because sure enough, you know, just like anybody else, I was denied plentiful. But I was thrilled to be accepted and invited into the shows that I did attend, and they were spectacular and they made it worth it.
Nice. So what shows did you attend?
Gosh, let's see. So I started the week really with Men's Day. And Men's Day is it's a collective of shows of they fall under men's designers, but a lot of them were men's, women's, unisex designers, or non-gender conforming designers. And it was basically a day centered around, you know, that type of wear. So it wasn't necessarily, you know, women's how or ready to wear. So designers included Chelsea Gray's, Apots, there were a few other, I loved Apots. Aaron Potts was absolutely incredible. And I believe one of his designs is now, from Fashion Week, is now displayed in the Met.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Congratulations to them and their team. They did absolutely, an amazing job. So Men's Day was great. That was kind of kicking off Fashion Week for me. I also attended, let's see, Durdu. They were awesome. That was at the iconic Spring Studios, on their rooftop terrace. That was a great show. There were a ton of, you know, like we've talked about, TikTokers and, other, you know, influencers and people like that in attendance. I also attended Allison Olivia and Kim Shuey as well, as, and, many after parties and other extracurricular fun events. So,
yeah. So you mentioned the TikTokers. So this was like the first Fashion Week where I feel like TikTok was really influential, because in the past it was all about the Instagram influencers. And what's funny is that I feel like this is the first Fashion Week where I wasn't getting my Fashion Week content from Instagram. I was getting it from TikTok. Like, none of the influencers that I follow were at Fashion Week, which is so funny. And like, it was people like Audrey Peters from TikTok going to Fashion Week, which was so weird.
Yeah.
So what was the vibe like? Because I'm sure the vibe was totally different.
Yeah, the vibe was, you know, it's like with any celebrity or person with any type of platform, it's really individually based. I met a lot of people, some of whom were just absolutely incredible. They were great. They were absolutely. In a great way. You know, there were people that were just like how they were, you know, on TikTok or on, you know, Instagram. Audrey Peters being one of them. We met at Alice and Olivia, and I saw her and I just said, you know, you make my day when I see you on my For You page. And she died, and just it was really great to meet her, and you know, just somebody who's, you know, iconic in that sense. And I'll probably butcher her last name, but Caroline Vazana, she's another TikTok influencer. And big on Instagram as well. So we met at the Durdu show. And she was the sweetest. She was just absolutely the sweetest person. So it was really individual based, because, and I say that not throwing shade, but that there were influencers, there were TikTokers who weren't there for the right reason. You know, in my opinion, you could tell who was there because they appreciate the industry, they respect the industry, but then you knew who was there for the street creds, the fame, the let me step in front of the camera and have my five, 10 seconds. So yeah, it was definitely individually based. You know, there were people who had a few thousand followers who thought they were Beyonce, and then there were people who had millions of followers who were the absolute kindest people that, you know, you would ever meet. So,
yeah, my experience with Fashion Week is pretty similar. I feel like, you know, there's always going to be people that are really stuck up, and just think they're too good to talk to you. And there's going to be people that are really friendly and are just there to like make friends and network, which is great. So it just really depends on the person.
Yeah.
But I feel like TikTokers are just more, they're just friendlier, because I feel like they have more of that connection with their audience versus Instagram influencers who are a little bit more detached and like to have that detached relationship, almost like, oh, I'm like Miss Perfect over here versus someone, you know, on TikTok trying to be relatable.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I do have to, you know, kind of step back and understand where they're coming from, because people have to realize that TikTokers and influencers in general, these are people who are used to talking to a screen and living in this, you know, like I said, pre-post pandemic world. This was one of the first major events where people were able to leave their homes, you know, like the last, what, almost 2 years, everybody has been, you know, staying at home, not going out, not socializing. So I know it was definitely hard for some people to kind of get back into that. And especially like younger TikTokers, younger stars, it was hard to be able to, you know, communicate and connect and network in person than, you know, what they're used to, which is obviously online.
Yeah. So I feel like they're more likely to be humble then too, which is a good thing.
You know, you would think, but I guess staying at home and building up this, you know, eagerness and, you know, building a following, you know, you have nobody, I guess, to flaunt it to, until you're able to get out. And
so you think people were trying to show off?
Again, I think it was individual. I think it was individual based, you know, but there were kind people. There were people who, you know, it was great to meet, but they, you know, they didn't know how to socially connect or, you know, maybe I wasn't on their level of fame in their head. that, yeah. you know, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a friend, you know, I wasn't a friend or I wasn't a part of that, that clique, but you could certainly tell who, you know, is in what clique, because it still mm-hmm. is very much cliquish in the sense that, you know, you have the New York TikTokers and then you have the LA TikTokers and then, you know, you've got kind of one-offs and then you've got people from, you know, the, I don't want to say the real entertainment industry, but from movie and TV.
Right. The celebrities.
Right. 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 So,
yeah.
you know, it, yeah, it was definitely interesting.
What was the street style like? Because I saw a lot of TikToks criticizing these TikTok influencers for wearing Shein and for wearing, you know, they were all wearing the same things from Revolve versus yeah. like in years past where people would really just go all out and wear really unique clothes. So what was the street style fashion like?
Yeah. You know, I saw some of both. I think it depended on the show, you know, of who they were attending, but I was disappointed in the sense that it almost felt like I was in a living ad rather than in a living creative space.
Interesting.
You know, in the sense that TikTokers and others were, you know, walking around like a billboard rather than really showing off their creativity in, you know, in what they could come up with. Right. Exactly.
Was there anyone that like stood out to you that had really good style that you want to shout out?
You know, this is hilarious because it's a style that I wish I personally were able to pull off. And I can't do it. I've tried it and I haven't left my house because it's embarrassing. And it's not something you would think would be, you know, super, you know, glamorized at New York Fashion Week, but, at the Alice and Olivia show, I had the pleasure of meeting, Kenzie Ziegler and her boyfriend. And they were absolutely the kindest people, that just took so much time away to talk to everybody. You know, who was there or who went up to them, but her boyfriend Tekoa is his Instagram, I believe. He had that, I mean, it was like probably 80 degrees and he was wearing a beanie, you know, and I'm like, how can you do this? But he had the e-boy look. And I was surprised that I didn't see more of that. Obviously from the trends in the past, the TikTok trends of kind of that,
yeah.
you know, skate e-boy aesthetic, but I love that look so much because the people who wear it well mm-hmm. and they're able to pull it off. And I know what I can wear and I know what I can't. So with, you know, with him, I even told him, I said, I absolutely love your, you know, love your look. And he kind of said the same thing. He's like, I love your jacket. I had this purple jacket on wearing.
Yeah. I saw the picture. Blue.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, I wish, you know, and so we had talked later on Instagram and he was like, you just gotta like, don't care and just wear it, just pull it off. You know, you can do it. And I just, you know, I know where my strengths and weaknesses are. So, you know, I think that style, you know, I really loved, And the trends this year were really all about color.
I saw a lot of color at Alice and Olivia and like other shows as well.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about trends. What were some of your favorite trends from the runways?
Yeah. So definitely color. And it was interesting because Alice and Olivia, all of the color was bright and eccentric and, you know, it had this vibe that was just rich. And then a lot of other shows, you know, like Kim Shui, there were colors that were softer, almost not necessarily pastels, but just softer hues. Lavender. I saw a lot of lavender this season, but not bright, not super bright. Almost neon, but just kind of like soft, not faded, but just a soft, you know, hue of these pastels. Yeah. So I loved all of the color. obviously, you know, it was spring, summer 2022. So there was a lot of less clothing, I guess we could say.
Yes. Yep. There was the underwear as outerwear trend, which I saw on Fashionista.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't pull off that trend. Like,
yeah, I know I can't, because I know I haven't put in the work at the gym.
Likewise. I saw that Western style is also trending, specifically fringe, which I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not a huge fringe person. I feel like fringe is one of those things that gets quickly outdated, and it can get kind of messy sometimes, you know, if you're like,
yeah,
something, you get your fringe dirty. I don't know. It's not for me, but I do like the cowboot look, which is also trending for winter. And I do love the brights. I noticed that neutrals were not really trending anymore. And yeah, I think it's because neutrals were such a big thing during like quarantine. And I feel like now people just want something bright and colorful and just optimistic. So glad to see designers are doing that. I also saw a lot of like psychedelic prints too, like that 70s vibe, like that trippy vibe. I like that.
Yeah. You know, at Men's Day, actually, there was a lot of that. I met a friend at Men's Day. Oh, it was incredible. It was, the fabric was almost pastel, but the color was bright and 70s vibe. And it's so funny because it wasn't tweed, but it was kind of along the same pattern, just a solid color. And she was wearing pink, and I had the exact same fabric and pattern and solid, you know, patterned fabric, but solid color suit on. I had a two-piece suit, and it looked like we had stepped out of, you know, Beverly Hills 90210. It was, you know, it's just it was like a late 70s, 80s vibe. And we looked, in my opinion, I think we were best dressed, and we have some photos from that day. But yeah, so men, there was a lot of that at Men's Day. So I'm excited to see, you know, what comes out, you know, for their ready to wear.
Yeah. And then the Y2K look is trending, obviously.
Yes.
But it's going to be even more extreme. So there's going to be low rise jeans again, and like halter tops, and like basically Christina Aguilera style.
You know, that pains me. I saw a lot. One of the things that I saw was a lot of vintage bags, and not necessarily vintage designer. Like, I'm trying to think, like, an, you know, like a vint, like a Y2K Anne Klein handbag that, you know, is like a, you know, $4.99 at Goodwill.
Be ironic, kind
right,
of.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that was, and I saw a lot of that, you know, kind of the shoulder mm-hmm. bags, the, you know, I don't know what they're, I call them banana looking bags, because they kind of are shaped like a banana. And
it's
they just
like
have
the,
that one handle.
It's like
handle.
The Prada one. It's like
It's like the right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bubble hems. Oh, not a fan.
Yeah.
Natalia Bryant was wearing that at the Met, and I just So her dress at the Met was like that. It had that bubble hem, but obviously it wasn't as extreme on the runways.
Yeah. The Met, you know, unfortunately I didn't get to stay, in New York for the festivities. I flew out the Monday morning, actually. But I had, I was sitting, it was so funny. I flew home and went straight from the airport to class. To my college class. And, you know, I had even posted something along the lines of, you know, 12 hours ago, I was sitting third row at Kim Shuey, and now I'm sitting third row at Kennesaw State University. So, you know,
that's perfect.
So last night I was trying to balance paying attention in class and streaming the Met on Twitter on my laptop. So I did get to see, you know, a few celebrities arrive and kind of see their breakdowns of, you know, what they were wearing, who they were wearing. And there were definitely some interesting looks, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite was Kendall's, and I think a lot of people agree.
Oh, absolutely. That was Matthew Williams, Givenchy, right?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. And same with Phineas.
Perfect. Yeah. Like, it was like a dress that I would wear. like yeah. that I would feel comfortable wearing.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It's one of those things that if you recognize, or even if you support the designer, Matthew Williams is one of my absolute favorite designers. I love Givenchy, but I specifically love Alex Alyx 1017, which is, you know, Matthew's line, you know, and I have one of his bags, and I love him. I love his designs. And when I saw Phineas walk the carpet, I immediately the Givenchy lock on the front of that suit, I said, wow, that's just a power. You know, there's something about a red suit that's just, you know, powerful. Yeah. And so I love that look as well.
There was a lot of red at the Met. Megan Fox was wearing red.
Yeah. Yep. Addison Rae was wearing red.
Oh my God. Let's talk about Addison. Talk so about what did Addison. You think about her invite to the Met?
You know, what's the saying? I'm disappointed, but not surprised. I'm not disappointed. I think that there becomes a level of fame of which cannot be ignored. Mm-hmm. And I think Addison has reached, if not past that threshold. Good for her. Kudos for her. You know, I don't know Addison. We haven't met before. We know a lot of the same people, a lot of whom I have met and have spent plenty of time with. But from what I hear, you know, she's an upstanding person. So it was definitely amazing, you know, to see somebody be able to, you know, make it from where, you know, they started and say, you know, this is a new industry. This is a real thing. I'm not mad. I'm not, you know, I'm not upset. I'm, you know, so good for her. Kudos to her. There was a lot of conspiracy behind her dress though. Apparently people think that she was wearing Courtney's dress from,
oh, I saw that
Christmas. Yeah. But I think they were a little different.
They did look different. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did. So, but no, good, you know, good for her. I'm glad she was able to attend.
So this might be an unpopular opinion, but I think it's a good thing that the fashion industry is becoming so accepting of TikTok influencers and influencers in general. It just means more power for us content creators, because the fact that for many years it was all about, you know, the celebrities, and for a long time, Vogue even like kind of snubbed influencers and didn't like, you know, having Instagram influencers at Fashion Week. There was like this whole article a few years ago about how it was annoying how influencers were taking seats away from all the publicists editors.
Yeah.
But now I feel like, you know, the industry is finally accepting influencers and seeing the power of like the normal person. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I know it can be kind of annoying to see people who are there for not the right reasons, like you said, want the fame and are not really appreciative of fashion. That's definitely annoying. Mm-hmm. But the same could be said about a celebrity too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it can be argued that Kim Kardashian was, you know, one of the first, you know, influencers, you know, who didn't necessarily have an on-stage talent. I guess I'll leave it at that. You know, but there were, in the past, she's been snubbed. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently rumor has it, you know, Anna Wintour hates Kim Kardashian, that they are not friends, that they're not, but it took longer for Kim Kardashian to have to build credibility with Anna Wintour to get invited to the Met than it did Addison Rae.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because I want to know, you know, to be a fly on the wall in that room, you know, with the board, with Tom Ford, you know, with Anna, you know, with these decision makers, I want to know the conversations that were happening. I want to know the conversations that were happening with their management teams. Because I agree to an extent of what you're saying. These designers rely on not just influencers, but on celebrities, you know, and there was a celebrity, influencer celebrity at one of the shows that I had attended who seemingly made it all about themselves. And it
who was it?
So I don't, I hate throwing like shade yeah. and I don't want to get, you know, anybody.
Is it someone like super famous that we would know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think so. Yeah. But I had heard, and the reason why, you know, and maybe I'll drop some more hints, but the reason why I'm being so vague is because I actually spoke to the stylist for all of the models, you know, who walked this show. And I said, you know, I said, how was your relationship with this person? And they said, well, we worked so hard that they had requested so many different looks to attend our show. And, you know, we worked so hard, you know, we sent look after look. They didn't approve anything. They didn't like anything. They didn't like any of what, you know, the designer had. And so they had finally settled on one. And when they showed up, they weren't even wearing the designer.
What?
Yeah. And this is somewhat, this person sat like, you know, A11, like.
So they have to be wearing the designer.
Front row, right. Like front row, first seat, you know, and I don't know the reasons why, you know, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to jump to conclusion and say, well, you're just a terrible person. But at the same time, that's kind of the point, you
know, and it could have been a sizing issue.
Yeah, I doubt it, but you know, I don't know. I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but, that to me was, you know, a slap in the face to the designer, but at the same time that, you know, that's a risk that designers take. You know, there are pros and cons, and, you know, did the celebrity attending the event outweigh the celebrity not wearing the designer, you know, to the event? I don't know. Those are only questions that can be answered by the designer and by their team. You know, by looking at trends, looking at analytics, looking at what's trending. I don't know if the risk is greater than the reward, you know, so that's another conversation where I would love to be a fly on the wall in that room to hear. I can't believe we, you know, but from what I heard from the staff, they were, you know, they weren't very happy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, of course that doesn't ruin it for all influencers, but
no,
it's just a, you know, case by case basis.
Exactly.
But, I think it's interesting that TikTok has become so much more influential so quickly, and Instagram's kind of like waning in influence now.
Yes,
like I'm seeing so many brand collaborations that want TikTok coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's interesting to me. So can you like speak to that a little bit from your experience?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's funny because I have this just about the exact same following on TikTok as I do on Instagram. There are people who are great at TikTok, you know, who know how it works. I aspire to be one of those people, because I sit here and press record and, you know, I hope what I make is good. And I hope that, you know, what I make goes, you know, gets on the For You page and goes viral. You know, so there are people who they know the ins and outs, they know how it works. They know transitions, they know filters and settings and things that I can't even speak on. And then there are people who, for lack of a better word, are basic, you know, that, and, but they still get views, you know, it's not one or the other. But there are people who are basic, and, you know, I'll put myself in that category because, you know, I'm a millennial technically. You know, I didn't grow up on it. I know the ins and outs of Instagram, even though that's ever changing. You know, I know the ins and outs of Facebook and all of that. But yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know if it's just because, you know, you can capture more in video than you can in a photo. I mean, I know Instagram now has reels, but when you go back and look at the history, you know, obviously TikTok is a video creator app and Instagram is for photos. You know, and it could have to do with, you know, you're playing into so many, you know, senses. You know, instead of, we talked about the death of radio when I worked in radio. What's going to kill radio? And for the longest time, everybody said streaming. Music streaming. It's going to be music streaming. And I heard one person say, and they explained it like this, and they said, it's not going to be music streaming. It's going to be self-driving vehicles.
Interesting.
Right? And, my thought process, I'm like, how do you even connect the two together?
Yeah.
Well, they were looking at statistics. They were looking at the facts. They were looking at the analytics. And they were saying, 70 to 85% of our listeners listen to our radio show, listen to our station while they're in their vehicles. What's going to happen when you don't have to watch the road anymore because your car is driving itself? You're not going to be listening to the radio. You're going to be watching something. Now, this was a meeting that I had about 6 years ago. And when he explained it like that, I said, that's brilliant, because you're not just going to be, listening to something, you're going to be watching something. And I think the same applies to Instagram and TikTok. Instagram, you're not just going to be looking at something, you're going to be watching and listening on TikTok. Mm-hmm. There are some times where, you can even scroll through TikTok because you know the sounds, you know the trends, you know the dance. You don't even really need to watch the video because you know what's happening because you know the sound. Yep. Right?
Yep. Even if I have my phone on silent, I still know the sound, which is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So yeah, I think with Instagram and what, these, PR agencies, these editors, these marketers, the people who are in the industry, that's what they're seeing is, they're creating double the content. Whereas with Instagram, they're just posting a photo. With TikTok, they're adding sound, they're adding dance, they're adding, there's so much more creativity that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. There's a cool factor too.
Yeah. So my respect for TikTokers has certainly increased post fashion week because of how hard it is.
It is hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And I'm not somebody who one has the time to sit there all day. And, I was talking
little
to
videos too.
I was talking to somebody about that. And, I said, I'll be making a TikTok and there might be like one little thing that's off. And I'm like, this is shit. I have to, I have to throw this away. I can't do this. Like, garbage or drafts or whatever. So yeah, I totally, see kind of where they're coming from. It's hard.
I think it also has to do with Gen Z. Gen Z is way more active on TikTok than on Instagram now. Mm-hmm. I saw that somewhere. I have to confirm, but I saw a statistic that said that Gen Z is way more active on TikTok. So of course the fashion industry would want to go after that demographic. Millennials are no longer the sought after demographic. It's Gen Z. Right. So, where do you find them? Well, TikTok. And people are more likely to buy things after they see it on TikTok too. So it's the platform. And the issue with Reels is that there are no trends. There are no real trends that are just organic to Instagram. Those trends are like old the trends on Reels are old trends from TikTok.
Right, right.
Instagram doesn't have like its own it doesn't have its own trends. And that's the issue. So Instagram really needs TikTok to survive on Reels, because otherwise people aren't going to create like just Reels out of the blue. They're going to recycle content and get inspiration from TikTok.
Yeah. I know at one point people were, essentially saving their TikToks and then just posting their TikToks straight to the Instagram Reels.
Yeah, that's what everyone does.
So nobody's really creating on Instagram anymore. Is there going to be a death of Instagram? Who knows? Is something going to, come from behind and take TikTok over? We don't know, but I'm excited to kind of see what that next thing is.
Yeah. I mean, I think Instagram definitely needs to step it up and just continue to pay creators to use the platform like they did last summer with Instagram Lives. I know that they're paying creators to create Reels as well, like with the badges milestones, just like a feature.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually got that notification that I can now like do badges on my Instagram. But I don't even go live on Instagram. Like I don't even, I don't do that. So I don't know. I think I've made It's funny. I've been on Instagram, what, 10 years? Maybe even longer. Wow.
Instagram came out 15? In 2011 or 2010.
2010. Okay. Yeah. So I've been on, yeah. So that'd be 15 years. Is my math right? Yeah. No, we're not 2025.
Hold on. It's been 11 years.
11 years. Okay. 11 years. I was like, wait a minute.
Long
way. I know, right? So, but 11 years, and this isn't brand partnerships. You know, this isn't, you know, like paid ads. This is strictly from the platform. I've made more from TikTok than I have Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I've been on TikTok for a year.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
It is. Yeah. I mean, Instagram has, you know, flourished because of content creators. So it's time that they, you know, stop limiting your reach and start paying us for some content. What do you think next Fashion Week is going to be like in February? More TikTokers on front row?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, because obviously it's going to be menswear. From what I hear, those shows, they're iconic, but they're a lot easier, but they are more welcoming to individual. Right.
Because it's cold. And so people are less likely to go to New York in February. So I feel like it's definitely easier to get an invite in February than it is in September.
Yeah, there are TikTokers who I could certainly see front row at Men. You know, one of my absolute favorites, inspiration to me, is Wisdom. I love his outfits. I've been following him since he started. And he was there actually at Fashion Week, and we just didn't, you know, there wasn't an opportunity for us to meet. I feel like there wasn't opportunity for a lot of us to meet. You know, we had a little circumstance. I ended up losing my phone at Fashion Week.
Oh no. And you found it?
Yes.
Or did you have to get a new one?
This was absolutely just a what is my life? Talk about first world problems. It was right after, shout out to Afterpay, first of all. Afterpay, they were the head sponsor title sponsor of New York Fashion Week. They did an incredible job. Their team was absolutely amazing. Luke.
Afterpay.
Yeah, Luke there. He was the head of events. He's from Australia, and he was running New York Fashion Week, and now I believe he's in London. So he is, you know, a man of many talents and you know, a man of running the show, and him and his team did absolutely amazing. But he had invited me to the Afterpay kickoff party for New York Fashion Week, mm-hmm. where we literally lit the Empire State Building green to kick off Laquan Smith at the Empire State Building.
Wow.
It was absolutely incredible. Well, after that party, you know, we had partied a little too hard, got invited to Locks and Beverly Hills Lingerie. They did an event at a rooftop in Manhattan. So we went to that, and there I lost my phone.
I would have freaked out.
Yeah, I was so defeated, because I went through almost the stages of, you know, grief and denial.
Yeah,
I was so upset. I was so angry. And then it went to, like, you know, being sad. And then it went to being happy in a manic way that I'm like, ha ha ha, I don't care anymore, you know?
Yeah, denial.
Where I was like, yeah, it's turning crazy. And then it just ended up in absolute defeat. About 1 a.m. didn't, you know, there was no sign of it. There were a million people at this party. Mm-hmm. So I get a car back to the hotel. And like I said, this was in Manhattan. I get a car back to the hotel, and you know, I'm an early bird. I wake up usually around 5:45, 6 o'clock every day. My body wakes me up at about 5:30. I get onto my laptop. I log in to find my iPhone. My phone is in the Bronx.
What?
Now, if you know, for those listening, if you know nothing about New York, Manhattan and the Bronx are about,
it's pretty far.
25-30 miles.
Yeah.
Probably from each other.
Yeah.
You cross multiple bridges. Mm-hmm. And the Bronx is not, not necessarily the, most safe neighborhood or borough in this case. And you know, in my mind, I went from, because I thought I was like, surely nobody at this party is going to steal an iPhone. You know, it was one, very difficult to get into. And on top of that, a group of affluent individuals, you know, I was like, nobody here is going to steal an iPhone. When I saw my phone was in the Bronx, my heart sank. And you know, I presented myself two options. I said, I can either just, because mind you, this phone had, you know, 2 days worth of Fashion Week pictures and videos and things that had not backed up to the cloud. And I was just defeated. So I said, I can either accept it and just go get a new iPhone today, or I can go find my phone. So I got dressed. So I got dressed at 5:30 in the morning. I got dressed. I took a yellow cab because I had no phone. I had no phone. I had no directions. I had no way of contacting anybody. I had the hotel call me a cab. I took a yellow cab from Manhattan to the Bronx at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm now in the Bronx. I have my laptop and I am walking around the Bronx carrying my Mac, trying to find Wi-Fi to track down my phone.
Oh my God.
I track it to one street and there were a lot of brownstones. And so I'm knocking on doors. I'm talking to neighbors. I know.
What?
And I in the Bronx. And clearly I was either just really dumb or just very determined. Because I paid no attention to how dangerous of an area I was in. And while I'm walking around, I run into two NYPD police officers on the block on the corner.
Yeah.
And they looked at me and they said, you're not from here, are you? You know, it wasn't even a question. It was more of a statement. You're not from here, period.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I said, I'm trying. And I explained what I'm doing. And they were like, you need to go back to Manhattan and file a police report. And I'm like, I don't have time to do all of that. I said, I am at Fashion Week. I am determined to find my phone. And they're like, you don't understand. Like, the people here are reckless in the sense that if you cross the wrong person, if something, you know, goes south, it's not going to be good. I mean, I had walked from the Bronx Zoo to the train station and back, and it was insane. It was insane. So long story short, we had turned on the Find My iPhone setting where my phone was locked and it said, please call this number. Shout out to Lucy, who I met at Durdu. She was my best friend all of Fashion Week. She helped me track down my phone. So we had her number displayed on my phone, and about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, she gets a text message. And it was from somebody, it was, you know, broken English, but basically how this person had found this phone. He was one of the employees at the hotel room.
I was going to guess that.
Who found my phone.
I was going to say that's probably
and he
who it
said,
was.
And he said, I'll be back at work at 4:30 PM. So he can meet me there to pick it up. And I met him and I picked it up, and thank God everything was just as it is, you know, and offered a reward, and you know, I couldn't thank him enough. You know, I think there's something about New Yorkers that goes to prove that, hey, you know, New York is hard enough, and they understand that. You know, now these aren't tourists; these are people that you know. This is a young man that lives in the Bronx and has to travel this far to work every day, you know, and, you know, who's working, a bus job, you know, a busser's job, a server's job, you know, and grinding in the city. These are people who know what it's like to have to put forth hard work. Yeah. So they're not trying to make it hard on anybody else. And that's really what I learned about New York on this trip. And he was so kind. But the moral of the story is don't lose your phone, because you will not be able to attend the shows you were scheduled to attend that morning. I did miss a handful. I did end up missing Michael Kors.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest shows I was looking forward to, but I had no way to reach back out to their communications director. I had,
right. And you need your phone to get in too for the scanner, GPS radar, right?
Yep. So, oh, well, but I did get it back. So happy ending, I guess.
That's good. So you have all your photos, all your videos, nothing.
I do. Right.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry you went through that.
No, it's a story to tell.
For sure.
Definitely. It was definitely a roller coaster of emotions. At one point I was like, I'm going to stay here until, I get a response from him in the Bronx. And so I'm in the Bronx and I'm like, I'm going to kill time and go to the zoo. I don't recommend the Bronx Zoo. If you have been,
I've never been.
It's sad. It's sad.
Really a zoo. I don't like the zoo.
I don't either. I felt like that was one of the more safe places, me to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, don't go to the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah. No. Well, I am excited for next fashion week.
Yeah.
This time I will make an effort to go. And ahead of that, I am going to try to up my TikTok presence so that I have more invites this year.
Me too. I need to do that. I need to get on TikTok. I need to recap fashion week on TikTok.
Yes.
I need to learn the transitions. I need to do something because these kids got, they got a leg up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining. Where can everyone find you on Instagram and TikTok?
Yeah. Instagram and TikTok. Everything is the same. It's MC Strollo. That's MCSTROLLO. My initials and my last name. It's pretty simple. But all socials are the same.
Great. Well, thank you again.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to subscribe, rate, or review. It would mean the world to me. As always, you can connect with me at Style Context on Instagram or Twitter. Go ahead and slide into my DMs. Would love to hear from you guys. And if you're a business owner who needs assistance with social media management, consulting, or content creation, visit channelyourinfluence.com to learn how you can work with me. Talk soon.